And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going back to 2 Samuel chapter number 20. 2 Samuel chapter number 20. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 6. And David said to Abishai, "Now shall Sheba the son of Bichri do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us." And there went out after him Joab's men, and the Kerethites, and the Pelethites, and all the mighty men. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them. And Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, and shed out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai's brother pursued after Sheba the son of Bichri. I know we've spent some time in this scripture, and we spent a little time last week about this and about Amasa's motivations, what could have been going on with him. But we did not get quite down to the place where I wanted to talk about the treachery of Joab here. And there's way more treachery here than first meets the eye. And you know that happens in ministries, it happens in churches as well, when people are set up to fail. People are set up to fail. Now, we've talked about this, but it bears repetition. Joab was pretty angry that Amasa was made general. And the reason Amasa was made general, reason David gave Amasa the job, is that David was mad at Joab for killing Absalom. That had to have been the reason. We're not told it directly, but that had to have been the reason. David said, "Joab ain't going to do it. Amasa, I'll put Amasa in there and show that I have forgiveness. Show that I have grace. Show that I have mercy on those who rise up against me. Even if Joab killed Absalom, when I would have given him mercy." And so Amasa is in the position. Amasa has Joab's garment. But I'm afraid that we've overlooked a detail here. The sword did not fit its sheath in Joab's garment. Now, there's a lot of reasons why this could be. Now, first, maybe Amasa pulled out the wrong sword. Maybe he had the wrong sword. Maybe he had the sword that did not fit the sheath very well. You know, sheaths are like holsters for guns. They need to fit correctly. They need to fit the particular weapon that you're going to carry. That way you've got good retention of the weapon. You know, holsters need to fit the gun that they're built for. Maybe they have a strap that snaps in place to keep the gun from falling out, to keep the gun from being pulled out at the wrong moment. Some holsters have trigger releases and different things for retention. And that's the idea, is retention of the weapon. And whether it be a sword or a knife, you know, hunting knives, you'll want to have a holster, and it needs to fit. Otherwise, you might lose the knife. It might fall out. And that's exactly what happens here. Now, we've been talking about this as if Amasa was worn out, as if he was, you know, he had been involved in trying to get the men of Judah, but they didn't want to go, and maybe he was worn out. He may have had some issues, but something else occurs to me. that maybe Joab sabotaged the garment. And maybe Joab put the wrong sword in that hole, in that sheath. And Amasa had Joab's garment in the sheath, and he had a sword, but it did not fit properly. Looked like it might have, I'm sure. I don't think Amasa would have just picked up a sword that obviously didn't fit, but maybe, just maybe, Joab sabotaged the whole arrangement. He heard that Amasa was being sent. Maybe he even gave it to Amasa. We're not told. We're not told how Amasa got Joab's garment. I cannot imagine that Joab just let him take it. I mean, it's possible, I would guess, but I cannot imagine that it would have been that easy for Amasa to have gotten Joab's garment like that. I can't imagine. But regardless, Amasa had a sheath and a sword that did not match. And that can be a dangerous situation in battle. I believe Amasa was set up for failure. Now, this is a terrible thing to do to somebody. No matter who it is, no matter what the job is, no matter what the task at hand is, whether it is in business or whether it's in the ministry, being set up to fail is one of the most diabolical things that can be done to someone. I've seen it. I've seen it in worldly jobs where people were given jobs and they were given a job that it was known from the get-go that they would not be able to do it. I've been given jobs before by supervisors at the time out in the world where the job was given, and it was given in such a way that had I not been very careful, I would have failed. I was set up for failure. But thank the good Lord, in a couple of those instances, I was able to overcome. But it's the good Lord's doing, it's not mine. The Lord was taking care of me because I know my own weaknesses. I know my own areas where I have problems. I know them all too well. And I grieve over them quite frequently. I plead with the Lord about them, and I say, Lord, I need help with this. I need help with this situation. And then my own weaknesses get a hold of me yet again, and I have the same thing happen. And I get very discouraged, quite honestly. I get very discouraged with myself sometimes because I fall to the same weakness or fall to the same problem, fall to the same old thing for the umpteen millionth time, it feels like. That's part of life. That's part of living in the flesh, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And if our Lord Jesus' flesh could be weak, anybody's flesh could be weak, because he had the power of God in the form of God the Son within. I know we have the power of the Holy Ghost, and I don't want to underplay that, but the flesh still gives you a fit. My flesh gives me a fit. I forget things. I forget to do things. I get behind on things, and I get ashamed of being behind. And some things I get behind enough on to where, well, I don't know. It's easier to not think about it and get further behind than it is to deal with it. And that may not make any sense to you. But when you get to a place of discouragement on things, sometimes that happens. And it shouldn't. It shouldn't. We ought to be, as the Bible says, not slothful in business. That means not putting things off. That means getting things done. That's what that means. We're all commanded that to do that. And It would be great if I could say I'd always succeeded at that when I have not, and I can't say that. But I try. I try my hardest. Amasa here, he's being set up. He's being set up to fail. And it is a horrible, horrible thing. Because Joab wants him to die. Because how dare he usurp Joab's authority? How dare he accept David's commission as the new general? How dare he? And Joab is going to deal with the situation as Joab knows. And Joab, let me tell you, Joab is a wolf in sheep's clothing. One of the most powerful messages in print that I've ever read is called Wolves in the Church by Brother Hanley Milby. And it's a powerful message. Wolves in the church. There are grievous wolves going to come into the church, sparing not the flock. And they're going to set people up for failure. Like I say, I've had it done to me. I've had it happen to me where somebody set me up to try to make me fail. And, you know, they'd do it in such a way where it looked like it was my fault, of course, rather than just, you know, giving me an obviously overbearing task to do. They give a task to do, and then they would not provide the support that they needed to provide to help me get the job done. And, you know, I expect it in the world. I do. I expect it in the world. The world is that way. The world is cutthroat. The world does not want to see a Christian person succeed. And I've been through it. I had one particular supervisor a few years ago, in the world, out in the world, not in the church, but out in the world, I had a supervisor who rather intentionally set me up to fail on a couple of occasions. And again, I thank the good Lord I was able to succeed in spite of what he set up. And that supervisor's no longer at that particular place. But I'm thankful to the good Lord for helping me out in that. But folk, when people allow disputes and personal disagreements and personal vendettas and personal vindictiveness and personal issues about things, when people allow that to come into the church, and maybe they bring a pastor on and they set him up to fail. They set him up to fail. They say, we want to do this, 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 and this, and then they don't give the support of it, and then they run him out on a rail because he tried to do what they wanted him to do, and they denied. That's diabolical. You know what the word diabolical means? It means of diablos, or of the devil. It's devilish to try to do that to people. But it's happened ever since. Being set up. Set up to fail. In the case of Amasa here, set up to die. Joab, very intentionally, I believe, had this sword and sheath mismatched. So that as Amasa went along, after a while, the sword would fall out without the wearer really knowing. And then Joab comes up. Now, notice what Joab does. He grabs his beard with his right hand. All right? But Joab has a sword available to him in his other hand. Now, we're not told directly he's left-handed here. But if he had his right hand out, his left hand had a sword. Maybe he was ambidextrous. Maybe he was able to use either hand. That's a useful skill to do. It's a useful skill to learn to do things with both hands, just in case your one hand is taken out of commission. There are some things I do better left-handed than right-handed. Batting a ball is one of them. Shooting a bow. I shoot left-handed. And I bat a ball left-handed. And I don't know how I picked it up. It just feels more natural to me. But that was something that was very highly prized in the day. And Joab was probably right-handed, but he was able to do what needed to be done with his left hand as well. And Amasa didn't pay any attention to the sword that was in Joab's hand. Now, was this the same sword that fell out? Very likely. I would think so. I would think that here comes Joab, and maybe he doesn't have a sword because Amasa's got his. I don't know. But the sword falls out. Amasa is now disarmed and defenseless. And Joab takes that opportunity to kill him. And to kill him by disemboweling him. It was not a quick death. It was not a pleasant death. I don't believe Joab just stabbed him in the heart to make it quick. It says his bowels came out, meaning Joab made a very long and deep incision. And Amasa lies there, wallowing in blood, we're told by the scripture. And a man ends up covering him up with a sheet, a cloth, so that they won't stop. And I say a sheet. It was a cloth, is what the Bible says. Covering him up with a cloth so that people wouldn't stop and look. It was a sight. You know how people are, rubbernecking. You know, people go down the highway, they see an accident, and they'll slow down to look and see what's going on with the accident. And sometimes they'll end up having an accident. Seeing a wreck, people, I don't know why, but people are intensely curious about such as that. And, but I just can't get past the fact. I just can't get past the idea that Joab set him up to fail. That breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because that shouldn't happen, especially in ministries. In ministries, there should never be a situation where someone is set up to fail. Because that means that you're not working toward the same goal. Means you're not working in one mind and in one accord. It means you're at odds with each other. And the body is fighting itself. We're all on the same side, Christian. We're all on the same side. And when churches split, or church loses its pastor, or the pastor loses some members in the church, things can happen where people get set up for failure, and because they have a personal vendetta, they're hurt, and they're going to get even. That shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way amongst the people of God. It shouldn't be that way amongst God's children. It shouldn't be that way, folk. If the devil can get us to fight each other, then he's won. Because we cannot win souls when we're fighting each other. We cannot win souls when one half of the church can't stand the other half. We cannot win souls when there's divisions in the church. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, he says, I hear there are divisions in the church, and I believe it. Halfway believe it, I believe, he said. He said, some says I'm of Apollos, some says I'm of Paul, some says I'm of Cephas, some says I'm of Christ. And then Paul goes down the line and says, is Christ divided? And yet, we have this happen. We have this happen in churches. And, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful at this point in time, at least, at Macedonia, we have a good spirit of unity at the moment. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for that spirit of unity. I'm so thankful that God sent a spirit of unity. But I also know that this flesh can rise up, and it can rear up, and it can create problems. Sometimes even without realizing it. Something will happen, feelings will get hurt, people will start wanting revenge, wanting to get even, plotting revenge, and then set people up to fail. Oh my, shame on us. Shame on us if we ever intentionally set somebody up for failure. And yet I believe here Joab did set Amasa up to fail. And it's going to come back to him. It's going to come back to him. David's not going to do something about him, but Solomon is. Solomon's going to take care of the problem once he's king. And David's going to counsel him to do that. That's going to be one of the last things David says to Solomon, is now you make sure you take care of Joab. And I'm not talking about being good to him either. He says different words than that, but that's the general idea. He says it's time to get yourself rid of Joab. It is. Folk, don't be someone who sets up your brother in Christ to fail. By all that is holy, don't be that way. Get it right with them. Get it right. Get it under the blood. Get it under forgiveness. But by all means, don't ever set up your brother to fail. Oh my. Oh my. I want to remind you again that we do have a podcast site at www.lamarwin.net. I try to post the broadcasts to go on the podcast site at the same time. I'm not always successful. Sometimes I'm a little slow, but I try. And so you can go to lamarwin.net if you miss a broadcast and want to catch up with the broadcasts, okay? And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, email broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.